Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for this precious book. And now we've asked you to help us with the subject, Lord. This is one of those that was asked a few months ago for people to give things to write and study and give a lesson or preach a message on. And there's some things in the Scripture not mentioned much at all, and yet God has said some things about them, and tonight's one of those times. I pray this will be a blessing, not kill anybody's time, and the Lord not waste anybody's time. Be a time of growth and help us to see how really God would have us look at things in life just because he doesn't announce everything per se, thus thou shalt and thou shalt not. He does give information to us that we can look at and be persuaded in our mind. Some things that we can do will give honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bible, Will, and turn with Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15. Now, this subject tonight is very controversial. And I realize that when I put something out, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not afraid to preach on any subject that's in this Bible. Amen. I don't care if you don't have but one verse. It happens so tonight, it don't have but one verse. In the whole Bible, one verse. And when you have one verse, and it's back in the time that God told Israel, even though he had a right to say that, in our age of grace today, a lot of folks say, well, that's their time, our time's a little bit different. But I happen to believe God has reasons to do things. There's some things he tells us why we should or should not do. There's some things he mentions to us that be better not to do, simply because if you're a child of God, your testimony is at stake. And therefore, we find that it'd be better just to leave some things alone. But on the other hand, when you're caught in some situations in life that were before you were saved or even after you were saved and knowing the difference, something takes place, and then you can't remove that. Don't think that that can keep you from going to heaven. And that's what I want you to understand tonight. This subject, when I get to it, you'll understand that approaching it. And if you listen, I'd be glad. I believe God will help you to help me. I thank the Lord for this, because I never thought about it that much. But I thank the Lord that I spent a lot of time the last few months on this, and I believe it'll be a great help to you. Now, if you look at me in Leviticus chapter 19, you'll find that God is talking to Israel about relationships and walk of God, his earthly people in this earth. He's talking about Israel, mainly, the relationship to him, their walk before God. And they're that right before going into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And he said some things about them that they should do and watch out for and not do when they get in there. Some things they should do. First of all, he said you need to remove all the Canaanites. If you don't, they will come. Eventually, it's the way life is, the way that flesh is. You cannot dabble as a child of God in things of this world without the world affecting you. You cannot do it. None of us are that strong. I'm not that strong. And I have to be sure there's some things I have to stay abreast of or from without being influenced by it. Because this flesh enjoys so much, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me. You don't need to hear nothing else. This flesh enjoys so much, it'll make you think some things are so good, they're all right. Looking right at God's Word. That's one of the things I understand when I see people in this life who are going really off the base on what they say Christianity should be, is that they're deceived, and you have to pray for those people because you don't realize it weren't for the grace of God, we'd be there. Right. If it weren't for the grace of God, the Holy Spirit living in you and I who are saving this precious book, we'd be right there. And the Holy Spirit lives in someone who don't get in this book. The Holy Spirit has nothing to work with that where in turn he can help us grow in grace and knowledge. Hey, you have a physical body. I don't care where you're at in your physical body. If you stop eating, you're going to die. You just stop. You say, well, I'm 54-year-old. Stop eating, you'll die. Well, I'm just 10-year-old. Stop eating, you'll die. You have to have nutrition for this body. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, you're going to have nutrition for the glorified, for this body here, too, until we get the glorified body. And that nutrition is spiritual food from this Bible. It's God's holy word. It's the bread from heaven that God gives us as we get the bread, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's telling these Israelites some things to do when they get there. And watch this. He names a lot of things here, and we won't go into those. But in verse 28, he said, ye shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead. Now, don't go around cutting yourself for the dead. Now, why is that? Because some people worship different types of gods and end up cutting themselves, think that they're going to beat themselves into condition or can do this and it'll please their God. And therefore, God said, when you get in there, these people are practicing that. Don't you practice that because you're different. You're different. Watch what he says now. And then he says, no, print any mark on you. He noticed that. Now, why would he say that? He said, listen, I am the Lord. It isn't some common man talking to you. It isn't somebody off the just off the shoulder talking to you. I'm talking to you because I am your Lord. So the question was asked, what does the Bible say, as they said, about tattoos? And so this is the only verse that's there. Now, let me say this to start with. If you have a tattoo, don't worry about it. I mean that. Don't worry about it. If you don't have one, then maybe this will keep you from getting one. Because someone said, well, you think that, no. Listen, let me say up front, a tattoo won't keep you out of heaven, nor getting one to let you go to heaven. So don't get that. What God is showing us here is something for his people need to know, they're different. And there's a lot of things you and I do before we get saved that we can't do anything about. And we have to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. I think about the fellow, I tell you, I'm in the hospital back a few years ago, and walking down the aisle, he asked, was I minister? I said, yes, and he called me over and I want to talk to me. And he talked about where he was at the night before. You heard me tell this story. And he talked about where he was at and how he got shot and pulled back his shirt and showed where a .22 bullet went right into his chest and just missed his heart. The scar is still there. By the way, that scar is still there today. You can't do nothing about that. Oh, that's got to be put under the blood. So what I'm talking about tonight is not that God has said, thou shalt not, but he's telling us why he has a right to ask us to do some things once we are saved that should help us understand we can be used of God better and it will not hinder our testimony. And don't you look at someone who has one and who don't have one as being any worse than anybody. Somebody who's saved has one may be a lot better than someone who's not saved don't have one. What I'm saying to you, the question was asked, and I want you to notice some things about this tonight. Now, I saw a sign one time that said, tattoos are reverse time machines. In time, you sent a warning back to your younger self. With tattoos, you sent a mistake to your older self. I've seen a lot of folks who told me through the years, even ministers and preachers who have them, said, you know, at the time they got them, they wish they didn't have them because they realized it did something to them in the later life, but they couldn't get rid of them, so they had to live with it, but they didn't have no reservation whatsoever that God didn't still love them. You understand what I'm talking about? Now get out of it in front. Another person said that they say the most who get tattoos generally are associated with criminal gangs or armed forces and whining teenagers who are desperate for attention. Another person said, I get only spiritual tattoos. I don't get these other kind. I get spiritual tattoos. Now, ladies, let me ask you a question. Did God define anyone here? So what is a spiritual tattoo? Oh, a spiritual tattoo. That's perfect. What is a spiritual tattoo? Oh, a spiritual tattoo. I have a cross here. I have about loving God in different places. I say, well, I don't find what God clarified that. Wouldn't it be much better if you'd hide them in your heart and let people see you walk and just have to look on your arm somewhere or another or your back or legs or wherever it may be? A lot of people who get tattoos regret it later in life. And the reason for that is this. They say this, and I've done some investigating of people who've been there. They say that most time I get a tattoo of a name. A young man falls in love with a girl. A young girl falls in love with a man. And they just love them so much, they just want their name somewhere close to their heart or somewhere or another all the time. 6 months later, they wish they could get it off. You see, that's the way we are. In the flesh, we want it now, don't we? We want it quick life. And then there's another that said, there's a certain saying I liked. And my mother told me years ago, and I put it on a certain place on the body. And I just know it's there. But then all of a sudden, something happens in their life that makes that something what it's not to be. One person said, I love my wife so much, I thought that when I married, I had a tattoo of my ring, wedding ring, on my finger, so I wouldn't ever have to worry about losing it. 6 months later, he had it put on there. 8 years later, they divorced. What is he going to do about that? Well, he's talking about getting another ring put over it. I guess you could do that. But what I'm saying, there are things that make sense when people have been there and do those things. So I'm going to hurry along tonight. So having tattoos will not keep a person out of heaven, nor having one will make a person, not having one make a person go to heaven. So before I get any further, I want you to look at some things that God tells us to do, though, the reason why that we approach this thing, whether it should make us a decision if we don't have to have one or not have one. It's not condemning anyone that does, because I don't think we have a right to do that. A lot of people do things unsaved that they wish they hadn't have done. By the way, if you'll be honest, you're saved, you've done some things in your past you wish you hadn't have done. Some things no one knew about but you and God. And therefore, you knew what to do with that. But if you turn with me quickly, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look down in verse 19 and 20. Here's what God says about us who are redeemed to the church at Corinth. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So it tells us this body is not ours. We're saved. God owns it, and he has a right to say that there are certain things we ought not to do because it practices paganism rather than practicing who we are. Then you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church again in his second epistle. And in chapter 6, he said this. Notice, he said, be not unequal yoked together with them unbelievers, for fellowship hath right, what fellowship hath righteous with unrighteous, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Bela? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What's this? Now this comes in, some things, first two didn't mean, but he said, but what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Wait a minute. Pagans did this much in years ago. Egyptians had much to do about doing tattoos and putting markings on their body and so forth to represent gods and so forth. And God said, Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, don't do that. Why? Because the temple is not your body in the Old Testament, but the fact that that's done will ruin your testimony for the worlds that practice that. They said, no, they're better than we are. But when God gave us came to the church and saved us, ladies and gentlemen, he tells us that, listen, our body is the temple of God. So to do that is to decorate the body with some figure that God should not be there because it doesn't represent what God is. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, and I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now it's an amazing thing, of the years of my ministry, in 55 years, it's an amazing thing, this is the first time anyone's asked a question something like this to be preached on. I don't know who did that. They put no names by it, and that's all right. But I wonder if they thought if I could find something on this. But listen, God just about covers everything, maybe not directly, but indirectly. And he shows us that what he does makes sense to us. And he shows us how much all of us. Let me say something to you. If you have a tattoo, don't have a tattoo. You need the mercy of God. I need the mercy of God. So don't come around. I'm trying to make it light as possible. Let us understand that it's something God said that it'd be better not to because of our testimony than it would be, especially we who are saved, because we should know better once we hear these things, and maybe God wants something he wanted to be brought about. So here in this chapter, again, he said, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. So that says to me that now since I am a temple of the living God, God has a right to say there's certain things that ought to be done and not done, though he may not say, thou shalt and thou shalt not. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10 and 11, you find Peter said this, for you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then watch, he said, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. In other words, there's a time you were not a child of God, and now you are. You can't go back and whip yourself for something you did when you were not a child of God. When God has forgiven you in blood, under the blood, and showed you mercy and grace, now as a child of God. And Peter says, now that we are not what we used to be. And so he goes on. He said, which we had not obtained mercy then, but now have attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as a strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So again, I want to start this message off by a question. Would it be appropriate behavior for a Christian, a child of God, himself to get a tattoo? You could qualify that. One verse in the Bible, who read it many times and never knew much about it. On the other hand, if a person knew that and did it, then that's a different thing. But what I'm saying to you, that a tattoo is where you're at the time you get that. And if a child of God understands that this is the temple of God, you don't decorate it on the outside except for the things that God tells us to do to obey him. And so some Christians consider tattoos that are religious to be okay. I mean, but the question is then, what does the Bible say about it? And if I understand what God said to Israel at this particular time, there are no exceptions at all. So I have to say, if I'm the temple of God, and God said that to Israel who were not the temple of God themselves, he made a temple for them to worship in, then it means more to me than it would be to them, though it meant something to them when God said that when they got into the land. And so some of God's people have gotten tattoos in their past, probably before they became a Christian. And even pastors and teachers and workers and good Christian people today many times have tattoos. There have been those, since I've studied this, say, you know, you know, preacher, years ago I got one. And he said, "Now I would not have done it, but now I did that, and I have to depend upon God about that, but I keep it where it's at, where nobody ever sees it except just one or two." And you see, that's the thing. Isn't it amazing? Here's the person who won't say something happened. He said, "Now that I am saved, I'm glad I didn't put it out front." And by the way, when I was started studying this, I went and began to look at it. I've never seen like tattoos in my life. I seen one person that had a face just like a tiger. Not only they had tattoos all over the face and the hair like a tiger, but they had gone in and implanted imprints here to have fangs. Why would a person want to do that? It's got to be demon possessed, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you know that you look much better like you are than trying to tattoo your face? You'd have to get another lady tattooed to get you, I guess. Ain't no way in the world I'd lay down with a lady looking like that every night. I'd be scared to death. Fangs make me think I'm a vampire. Amen. But I'm saying, not just to be funny, but I want to understand this is something to enjoy to preach and yet give us an idea of what God is telling us in the age of grace that we should do to be better testimonies for Him. I don't believe that having a tattoo would cause one to lose their salvation any more than I believe that obtaining a tattoo would give, abstaining from it would make a person more candidate for heaven. So what I did, I approached this with four questions. What does the Bible say about tattoos? Or the Bible calls it marking on the body and with type inks. What does the Bible say about the body? Well, it does mention the body marking one time, Leviticus 19, verse 28. Here God practices. Here God commands that Israel to not practice such practices as this. Now, at this particular time when they were going into the land of Canaan, at this time, an Israelite's body was not the temple of God. And yet God says when you go in there, not do that. Why? Because those people are already doing that. And when you go in, He says, don't be like the world. When you move into the land of Canaan, you don't look like the Canaanites. You're a special people. I've redeemed you out of the land of Egypt. Don't bring anything that Egypt said with you. I have brought you out of through the wilderness. I've sustained you. I've taken care of you. And when you go there, you are a precious, peculiar people to represent me. That's all you should care about. Now, before you're saved, you don't see that. But after we're saved, we know that that's what God wants us to do. And so here, He said, I am the Lord. Do not do this. Now, the context here, Israelites were in the wilderness. Moses had just brought them out of Egypt. God wanted Israel to be distinct from their pagan neighbors. He said, in other words, God was saying, when you go in there, I want to be sure everyone sees you and sees a Canaanite or any other night families. They're going to know the difference between you and the rest of them. Isn't that what God tells us about being Christians? God is telling us we are to be different. We're peculiar. We're a priest in some way and going to rule and reign with Christ one day. Therefore, we are not to be like the world. And that's the type of Egypt. So God tells us that in His precious word. And so they were wicked people. They were demonic people. I've read activity. They had bizarre activities. They offer their children to idols in the sense that they give their little babies thinking they appease their God. They drink blood because they thought that blood would also please their God that come from different things in battles and so forth. God wants His people then and now to be holy, to be separated and distinct from the world that's around them. And that's the reason we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, He talks about coming out from that world and so forth. So for an Israelite to get a tattoo back then could cause also some very bad infections. They didn't have the modern day things we have today. I mean, they didn't have the antibiotic hand wash that some kind they could use. When a man did a tattoo, they didn't have the instruments they have now. They had to do it a certain way by hand. And I went back to see how they used to do that with these little levers. And they'd do this one and go right and do this one. Never had any sanitation whatsoever. This guy had a disease and you did it to the next one, then he might catch that disease. They had no infection control whatsoever. So God was giving them something that could give them their life physically, if they listened to Him, because they didn't know, those people who did that didn't know in the world where that needle had been before. Of course, in our day, they say we're more sanitary today. That may be. But I'm showing that in Israel, God was giving them something to help them understand that it would help them in the long run when they go into that land. But what about today? What does the Bible say about tattoos, body marking, and permit today? Well, we don't have anything on it except what God said then. Except God says, listen to me. I am the Lord. Your body is the temple of God. You're precious. You should be one that you would give yourself to me and not to your desires in this life. Now, number two, what does a tattoo mean? Now, this is a big deal where ink is laid into a layer of skin, I understand, permanently. That it goes into the layer of skin permanently. Tattoos, very seldom, can be removed. Today, Christians should be to take note considering where such markings originated. The only time God's Word mentioned this thing is connected with the pagan practices. There's no way that Christians can take a pagan practice and make it godly. Now, I have to understand that. I may try to do anything in the flesh and may not be anything as far as God and the fact that it should not, that as a Christian should not do, but I can't take a pagan practice and make it godly. God will never say a pagan practice can be godly. Somebody say, well, wait a minute now, preacher. Christmas is pagan. You're practicing that. No, we're not. We're practicing the Lord's birth. Don't tell me that. We're practicing the Lord's birth. And by the way, he was born. He was born. It doesn't matter to me if it had been in July. He was born. So I have no reason. I don't know when he was born, but I know he was born. Amen? Don't y'all know he's born? What I'm saying to you, that there's no reason for me to try to argue about that. He was born. And God put his seal of approval upon him at that time. There's no way that a Christian take that practice. And yet, many times we cannot judge by our outward appearances. Why? Because God said what's in the heart that really matters. And if you don't have something concrete with the Scriptures about it, then make judgment. We're not judges, folks. We're not people's judges. We are fruit inspectors. And a fruit inspector looks at some who that's the fruit or not. If you go out looking at fruit, you're looking for the fruit you're looking for. If it's a grape, if it's a plum, if it's an apple, if it's a peach. When you go out looking for a Christian, what do you look for? A Christian. What is a Christian? There's fruit that gives us understanding to watch for that fruit. So it's not necessarily what's on the outside, it's just what's on the inside. Jesus taught us that. But at the same time, he realized that what's in the inside comes out will cause us, when we learn, to not do some things that we might have done otherwise. Can I hear amen on that? Amen. So nobody can feel condemned about that. Not for me. I wouldn't condemn anybody something like this because there's not enough on it. But I do know this. God is right. And a child of God, when we learn, we're responsible. God's thing about being a child of God. When we learn something about anything, we're responsible at that particular time. The Christian should not imitate the world. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 tells us that. 1 John, look with me. In chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us that. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If something in the world wanted so much that we want it because we love the world, and God said some reason why it should not be done, he said, then the love of the Father is not in that person, because the love of the world and the flesh should never override the love of God that we have for him. And what a message. What message will a tattoo send to others in the body of Christ? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and look down about verse 14 to 16. Here's what the Lord tells us about this. He said in verse 14, you're the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill. Look how Jesus explained who we are. You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. But he says, on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all these that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I wonder why Jesus said that, because he said people are watching you. And you're not even your own light. I'm your light. And anything that hinders that light from being shined because someone sees something before they see that light, it's not good for you. Because we are his light. And he's the light of the world as he shines through us. And so what do tattoos reflect to this world? God or something else? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 just a minute. I'm answering these questions from a Bible that cannot be answered just what God has to say about tattoos. In chapter 14 and verse 15, notice again the question, what do tattoos reflect to this world? Do they reflect God or something else? In Romans chapter 14, verse 15, he said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Isn't it amazing? God uses a simple thing. Other places he said, meat's good if you sacrifice by prayer. But here he said, hey, if someone is grieved over meat that you eat, and this was understand the context is here, meat, you heard me say before, that's given to the idols, in Rome, and then they take it off the shelf at times and go somewhere else and set it at a discount price. It's good if you cooked it, but it couldn't be given to the idol. It's good enough for people to cook it, won't good enough for the idols who could never eat it. And so he's talking about that. If a man came out of a pagan attitude or a situation, and he thought meat and meat was actually not right because he was taught meat. He maybe was a vegetarian, thought the meat was offered to idols, therefore it was condemned. But he says here, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, if you're going to eat meat, don't now walkest thou not charitable. You're not walking in love at all. Destroy, he said, not him with the meat for whom Christ died. You may be strong enough to eat the meat, but if he's not, don't destroy him because of your strength. You didn't know the Bible said that. You know, God always looks at the underdog and lets us know God's people are more responsible than this world. The only thing this world is responsible to is listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and trust him as Savior. That's all he asks of this world. And then once we become a child of God, we're responsible. And he goes on and he talks about the kingdom of God. And then I like verse 21. It's good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything, whether thy brother trembleth or is offended or is made weak. So he says for us who are saved, we do something. It's much better for us to leave some things alone, no matter how you feel about it, simply because you may help someone. And he tells us if we do something and that person is condemned, that which was not wrong for us becomes sin for us because we caused a trouble, a brother to fall. I'm going to tell you what, this book is not like most religious people think. This book tells us everything we need to know, and God helps us. So why, look at again, why would a child of God act in disobedience to God's word, causing distress to other Christians simply when they know the facts? If you don't know the facts, there's not a whole lot that can be done. The world don't know the facts about Jesus Christ, ends up in hell. Maybe they've heard, but they don't know. They didn't accept them. They're responsible for that because God has given the gospel to this world. And God gives it to them, but he don't make them trust him. But once they trust him, then he gains the responsibility. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and Romans chapter 1, verse 1, you remember what God said? I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Did you know that was in the Bible? Turn over back a couple pages if you're in Romans with me, and you see in verse 1. I beseech you, I beg of you, Paul said to the church at Rome. Amazing, this is a very strong church. That you present your body, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly accepted unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul says that's a reasonable thing that any child of God should do. And because of that, this body is presented to God. Can I present it the best way? If I now, as a child of God, do something that God told Israel not to do, and understanding context, it is not a Christian practice, it's a pagan practice, that it would hinder my testimony for the cause of Christ. And God says, yes, it will. Don't do that. We're to die to self and live for Christ. We are to walk in court, not according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. If you look in Romans chapter 8, you'll find also in verse 12 to 13, he makes this statement, 12 to 13. Notice he said, therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We don't have to be indebted to do everything the flesh wants us to do. In fact, he tells us many times we should not do some things after we're saved. He said, for if ye live after the flesh, if ye practice those things after the flesh, in verse 13, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, that you put them to death, and when you put them to death, that's something that's not done. He said that the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look with me in Galatians, if you will, just a moment, over just a few places in Galatians chapter 5. I'm giving you verses of scriptures that helps us understand why God would even ask us to do something where he never did tell us precisely why we should or should not do it. In Galatians chapter 5, look down at verse 16. Paul says this in verse 16. He said, this I say, walk in the Spirit and watch, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. There's no way you want to convince me that a person can go through the pain of putting a tattoo on, and they say it's painful to do that without it being a lust of the flesh. It had to be the flesh wanting to do that. I mean, I'm not going to put, I'd say a needle and they might pass out. You think I'd go have said that? Well, somebody said, one fellow said, well, preacher, you don't understand, I was in service and I was intoxicated when I got mine. Aren't you glad God forgives you? Amen. What I'm saying to you, then he says in verse 24, watching verse 24, he said, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. You didn't know that before you got saved. He said, if you're in Christ, you're put to death. You crucified. You killed the flesh Yet as you put the flesh down, you don't let it control you anymore. It tries to rise up, and you do your best to put it down with God's help. He helps you put it down so it doesn't rise up in you and control you. Why? You have a Spirit of God in you, and you feed it with this book, and He helps you in this life. But if you're not saved, you'll not do anything. An unsaved person will not do anything. Did you know an unsaved person can be a good citizen? Isn't it an amazing thing? I remember years ago in Ennis, Texas, we went out there when Brother Michael was pastoring the church, and I went and held a meeting for him. My family went with me. And we Ennis, Texas, I didn't know no was Ennis, Texas. I saw on a truck and asked a guy about it. He said, yes, I'd have died for about an hour. So I said, when we come back through Dallas, I had to go there, go through the panhandle. I said, let's go down and find Ennis, Texas. And we went down and found him. And it was about 12,000 people. Everywhere you go in that town, in his, you felt at home. Amen. That's all you need. And the only thing about that was this, though, they were celebrating their centennial. And I was thinking about one of the Colt brothers, I think it was, somebody that who would have gangsters that time. They were robbing everywhere. And they went there to rob that place, but they had some, since it was a new town, they had a new safe put in, and they didn't know how to get into that safe the right way, so they decided to settle there. And here they settled in that town. Everybody thought they were good citizens and everything. Robbed everything within 100 miles around there. Every town, everybody. I mean, they'd go right back there and finally call them. They couldn't believe that those people were robbers because they're such good citizens. You know, people can deceive you. And yet their heart is wicked. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that God sees us? What a wonderful thing that our Savior puts up with us. And we get saved. And you know what? We have to grow in grace and knowledge to even know what He wants. Even know how to handle ourselves. Some people get saved, bless God, and the first thing you think, they'll start just condemning everybody. And it's not long, those people who do that will end up being worse than they are if they're not careful, because you've got to grow some if you're going to do any evaluating. There's some things God said do want to be up front. But Peter said, you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. You have to do that to understand what happens, because the food of this book strengthens the new man, which in turn gives us strength over this body to bring subjection as we go in this world. And even then, we'll have some downward spirals at times in our lives. And God, we have to depend on the mercy of God. So we're to walk according to the, not the flesh, but by His Spirit. God owns our bodies who are saved. And getting a tattoo cannot make me lose my salvation as a Christian if I do that, and because the blood of Christ, put it under the blood. Something like that you put under the blood, but you can't get rid of it. It'd be like me saying, hey, I got drunk Saturday night, went out and got shot. I won't say. Maybe I lost an arm. Because of that. I know a person who did do that. He lost his left arm. Well, hey, all the rest of his life after he was saved, he didn't have an arm. You think God held that against him? Absolutely not. It's under the blood. Please understand what I'm saying, folks. The blood can cleanse us even though we have scars. Amen. In fact, we all have scars. Amen. God gives us a responsibility, though, to be sure we search his word and find out what we need to do. And even getting a tattoo, like I say, may lose the salvation. I mean, won't help make a person lose the salvation as a Christian, but it could hinder your testimony as a Christian, since we are the temple of God. Though it may harm your testimony in Christ, tattoos send out a visible mixed signal that confuses other people. You could find some people like eating meat and say, one thing for sure, if I ever get saved, I wouldn't have one. Just like someone says, well, I wouldn't eat that meat, but that person says it does. You see, God wants us to be the strong one to see to it. We govern our lives more so by what we can be to manifest to this world who God is than what we want to do to please ourselves. And that's hard to do with the flesh, because it's always there. We have no custom of, we have no accounts. It may have harmed one's testimony, but we have no account. Now look, I don't find where Jesus or a prophet or a disciple or apostle or anyone else getting ink up in the New Testament. It's not there. I do not think that Jesus would have gotten a tattoo because of what God said. He always obeyed His Father. And of course, He was perfect. Number three, agreements as to why religious people get tattoos. Or arguments, I should say, why they get that. Most say because it was under the Old Testament law. Some say, well, it's under Old Testament law. It didn't have anything to do with us today. I hear that all the time. If I don't understand what God's doing in the Old Testament, I won't understand what He's doing in the New Testament. I'll tell you that. Because a lot of things in the Old Testament just sit in the ground for God to operate in the new and reveal that which was hid in the Old Testament. And so, but what about, again, stealing and killing? Because it says under the Old Testament. Just because we're under grace, what about God said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not gossip, thou shalt not commit adultery. What about those things? Those things still affect today, aren't they? because it's law, and it curses people, and God has redeemed it out from the curse. We have been removed from the curse of the law. Some people say, well, I don't get a tattoo for pagan worship. I got it to honor God. I got something biblical. Well, that sounds like a good idea. Let me ask you a question. I've thought about this a lot. If you want to honor God, I mean those people, if they want to honor God, ladies and gentlemen, why not write his laws on your heart, not on your body? Because he tells us to do that. You see? I'm trying to be as kind as I can. And I believe I have to preach the word of God. And then again, live for God in action and in deed. Tattoos don't move God, but your heart can. And I'd recommend to anyone to avoid any type of tattoo. But if you must have one, get a temporary one. How's that? Get a stamp like a little kid and put it on there. And then you can take it off. Amen. Somebody's going to go out of here now and say, preacher, and said, go ahead and tattoo yourself. It's all right. Now, I'm trying to show you, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. But again, there's not a concrete thing here in the age of grace. First of all, Israel was not individually the temple of God. And yet God said for them not to do this. And he said, I'm the Lord spoke to you. Someone said, well, in the New Testament, God never spoke to any of us about that. No, but he told us a lot of other things to govern ourselves by. And I read many of those to you tonight. Every one of those verses I read to you is God given us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to govern ourselves in life that we might manifest who the true and living God is. For those who want to see it and hear it for God's glory. And so, at least, if you did take one like that, you can remove the thing. Number four, the last one quickly, in close. What about Christians who have a tattoo already? Let me say to you, and I mean this, bottom of my heart, don't let Satan worry you about it if you're saved. Just don't do it no more. Just don't do it no more. I'd tell you what's the truth. I'd say, God, forgive me. If it's wrong, I don't really know. I know what you said, and I certainly want to be a vessel to you to use. But I want to tell you this. What I've done, I'll never do again, because I understand now. And that's the reason why maybe somebody asked this, because he wanted to be taught. And I believe in my heart, if you're a child of God here tonight, if you heard this, if you do that, it's going against the direct will of God. Because we know. We're responsible for what we know. And so, therefore, if you don't believe me, ask some of the people sometimes you see, and you'll tell that they're Christian. They'll tell you, I don't know how many since I've studied this, talking to them, they say, you know, I did that, but I wished I hadn't. I just wished I hadn't. And I'm sure not going to condemn nobody. I'm going to just say, hey, thank God if it's under the blood. I thank the Lord to understand he forgives and forgets all of us. I've refrained from getting any more. So he forbids Israel to have this. He said, listen to him. I am the Lord. He threatened the fact to let them know, no one else is telling you this but me. And here's why. He laid out these principles and so forth. He laid a lot of things, other things he said not to do. But this is one in practice as far as the pagans are concerned. Today, Christians are to be separated from the world. We are to be meek and humble, love one another, honor God in this world. There are no benefits that come from tattoos. God's word is clear on how Christians should conduct themselves in this life. And such decision in life probably show that this world where we stand in life for our Lord. And if I tell you this, I remember a dear brother of mine, one of the greatest preachers I know of, had two on his arms. And I remember a number of times he would often say, I did that when I was a sailor. We were on one of the screws one night. I've been saved since then. God preached to me. He said, and now when I preach, I said, I'm not ashamed of him because I know it's under the blood of God, but other people won't understand it. And he said, so when I preach now, he said, I wear always long sleeve shirt. No one ever knew it because he always had a long sleeve shirt on, at least while he was ministering. And I believe that's a meek way to handle that. Folks, you and I cannot get out from a lot of things we've done without the mercy of God. Right. Every one of us need that. Amen. We have to understand that we all deserve hell, and only by the mercy of God have any of us saved. And we are held real responsible after we get saved than we are before we get saved. So, again, God is clear, such decision in life probably shows this world where we stand in life for God. For God, listen to me, is always the same. And this is the reason why. This is where Paul said in Romans 14 that a man must be swayed in his own mind, because you only have one verse of Scripture and you got as many understanding that and presenting that as you got people. depending where they're at. Many times one verse of Scripture is not clear enough, it seems like, and therefore you can't have others like many verses of Scripture to back up something which you can really look at. But you can teach it in a way that's one of the best ways in the world for a child to understand what it means to be persuaded in one's own mind. You get persuaded because you hide this book in your heart, and where you would have done something, you will not do, because you don't have a thou shalt, thou shalt not, but you have enough the Word of God in this book, in our heart, from this book in our heart, that helps us in this temple make good, godly decisions to help others. And that's what eating meat is. I don't love steaks. I love meat, though. I love meat. I love pizza better. But I love meat. My wife loves steak. And I eat it because I don't want to offend her. Oh, my. Lord, help me, I pray. If you were in sin, and I said before got shot or cut, you'd have a scar left. Then you got saved, your scar will still be there. The sin can be forgiven, but the scar can still be there. I believe the same is true about the marking of our bodies. Being saved brings more responsibility when we have a choice in how the information that God gives us. I would be held much more responsible myself based on what God has revealed. And I probably have studied it. I bet I've studied this more in the last few months than anyone in here has ever studied it. If you have, let me know. I've studied every angle I know to study. I've studied from the word, thou shalt not, to the fact what he told Israel, why he didn't in the Testament, the places where God said what things we ought to do, and so forth. Just because we're saved, we're not like the world. And so being saved brings a great responsibility. And me knowing what I know, if I'd go do something like that, I'd be held so much more responsible than somebody who didn't know. You still love me? Yes. Let's stand to our feet, please. I pray that God tonight will bless what's said. And you who wrote that back a few number of months ago, it's been a long time since I got that. I'm working on it. It takes a long time on some of these. But you who wrote that, I appreciate that. I can't take no more, by the way. Don't give me no more. I've got so many I won't never. Until Jesus comes, I won't be able to answer them all. But I am trying to take them as they come, and I pray that God will help us see. These are things that be straight in one's own mind. But it's not self-persuasion, folks. It's biblical persuasion, because that's the Word of God. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for this book. And this really helps us understand what we've been talking on Wednesday night now for a number of weeks. How one thing in the Bible said, and no, some people don't pay any mind to it at all and go do what they want to do, and yet when we begin to break it down, we can't get enough to persuade some people. You know, on the other hand, for the child of God who really wants to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and take Scriptures and compare Scripture with Scripture and see what God says and why He said it and what He's told us that we are, which in turn helps me understand that verse. If I didn't understand what God told us in Corinth, to the church at Corinth and Peter and Romans, then it'd be hard for me to understand what God has said to Israel in that verse. And because what God has said that governs our life in the New Testament helps me understand how to approach that verse in turn to make it apt of my life so my testimony could be seen before the world. Somebody else who may have a testimony now, Lord, one day may use a tattoo if they've got one, can't get rid of it, and tell the person, you know, when I was unsaved, this happened. Now I am saved. I have to trust the Lord for that. I can't do anything about it. But I'm glad that I'm put it under blood and know that God forgives sin. Thank you for that, Lord. If not, then all of us be condemned. And we thank you tonight. I pray somehow or another be a help to some people. Bless that person who did write this and ask for this. I pray they'd understand how much studying is done. If someone else has been offended, you'll have to fix that. Lord, I've done my best to present the Word of God in a way that I am persuaded by the Scriptures. I believe why God was said. And God, you have the right to tell us what to do. For you said, I am the Lord. Not only that, in the age of grace, you're our Heavenly Father. And therefore, we must always pay tribute to you because of that. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.